HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Here's a heavily bastardized version of a beautiful Gary Lineker quote to begin this episode. IPL is a simple game. A bunch of dream teams spend months playing bat and ball, and at the end, Mumbai Indians always win. What was once true for India's premier first-class tournament, that is the Ranji Trophy, is now true for India's premier T20 tournament as well, which is the fact that Mumbai is the runaway leader, the benchmark for all other teams. On Tuesday night, Rohit Sharma won his fifth title as captain in 8 years, which of course makes him and MI and the final and all of the IPL that we just witnessed as our talking points for this final episode on the IPL this year. So as always, I turn to my co-host Rudra for his thoughts on what has been a remarkable season. And what he thought about it. This was remarkable in every which way, Rudra. What did you enjoy? And we can come to the final whenever you like.
We can start with the final. The final was unlike the rest of the tournament, not very close. Here's the thing. I asked myself this, what else did I expect? Did I expect Mumbai to have a close battle with Delhi, or did I think that Mumbai would win this IPL any which way, even before a ball was bowled this season? And the thing is that I realized that, yes, I was expecting Mumbai to win right from the very beginning, which tells me that the IPL was kind of, you know, no matter how good a dream team is, and from your lovely quote from Gary Lineker, it's a bunch of dream teams, yes. But MI is clearly the best of the best in terms of being a dream team.
But why? Why is this dream team better than all other dream teams? Like, what is your one reason for this?
Yes, I don't know. It's very hard to say. A lot of people have pointed out different things. About the balance and about having just the right kind of players in your team. But I think every team goes looking for that balance. Every team goes looking for that exactly the right kind of players. And a lot of the players who are in Bombay, just the right kind of players, wasn't so in for their previous franchises. Which is why Trent Bolt, Delhi let go of Trent Bolt, couple of years ago. They let go of Jayant Yadav last year, and look at what Jayant Yadav did in the final. You know, and Quinton Deacock, for example, went from IPL team to IPL team to IPL team before he found suddenly this what he himself calls his home in Mumbai Indians. So perhaps it's not so much to do with the team selection itself, with the players. There's something to do with it, of course. They have an amazing lineup, but also with the way the team is managed, the way they're given belief in themselves, the way they're backed. Ishan Kishan is another example. We've all thought that, okay, he's kind of done for, showed great early promise, but sort of fizzling out now that he's growing up. But what a fantastic IPL he had.
Absolutely. Listen, I really liked your penultimate point. I think it was on management, and I have to come to this. Just bear with me, because I'm going to get to why Mumbai Indians might be the best, or surely are the best, in a slightly roundabout way, which is, all these teams are run by billionaires who take, great care of them and pay them fabulous salaries, right? But at some point, every other team but Mumbai, due to whatever factors, nobody knows, right? Like maybe a change in the coach, maybe a change in the coaching staff, maybe a change in, the shareholding pattern of the team itself, which has happened to a bunch of them.
Yes.
They ended up getting rid of what should have been that particular team's core at some point before some auction, right? Like obviously either tempted by trying to bring in, like, you know, a really big hitter, some, you know, someone who can bowl really well to left-handers, whatever. They were trying to fit one part of the jigsaw. And they thought, like, the core that they had at that point wasn't good enough. And they thought, let's build a better core. I mean, see, each of these teams, just the way Bombay has Rohit Sharma, Bangalore has Kohli, and all the teams have one big face, at least, that they can build a team around, right? So, very, very, very early on, something about Bombay's management figured out that our core is not Rohit Sharma plus extras. It's Rohit plus Pollard plus Malinga plus Krunal Pandya plus Bumrah plus Hardik Pandya plus Ishan Kishan, right? He's been there for like a bit now.
Or Surya Kumar Yadav. That's a fascinating point.
Or Surya Kumar Yadav, right? You know, he did win a couple with Kolkata Knight Riders at a time when this core was still in Bombay and not winning.
Right.
Somebody somewhere in the Mumbai Indians management has to get a big pay raise because, or a bunch of them, right? They just decided these are our guys. We are going to stick with them till they get very, very old and can't play again.
Right.
And because of that, now you're seeing, you know, the fact that they know each other. They all call each other like, you know, extended family and all of that. Ishan Kishan says the Pandya brothers are, you know, like brothers from another mother for him. And they always put the three of them in interviews together. Right. They all just know each other, like, personally in and out, and also know each other's games in and out, because every year they meet under the same management and they do the same stuff and they're told the same stuff, and it's providing the results now.
That's a very, very nice way to elaborate on what was for me a vague feeling that, oh, maybe the management backs them. That's right. I mean, that's fascinating. And because you took all these names, I was just thinking that, you know, how lucky, not lucky is a bad word to use. You're not lucky. You actually did this. The Mumbai Indians scouting out the two Pandya brothers and Bumrah.
Absolutely.
to find these three players when you're out scouting. Wow. I mean, really, I mean, let's get them to scout the Indian team as well.
Absolutely. Oh, but you know what? That guy was the scout for the Indian team at some point. Because when Ponting took over as coach of Mumbai Indians, John Wright wasn't let go. He became the talent scout. And as we know, you know, after one of the people who obviously runs errands for him spotted Bumrah, John Wright didn't obviously just take that guy, his word on face value. He went to Ahmedabad and sought Bumrah out himself, like basically sat in the stands very discreetly and watched him play. Same with Hardik and Pandya. And I think the three of them, as you so rightly brought up, were scouted in the space of some 11 months or 12, basically across just on either side of two seasons, right? Which is, I mean, what a team, man.
it makes me wonder who they have scouted and are waiting in the wings and we don't know anything about.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely. Yeah. And it also makes you wonder if a similar management were in control of... I'm going to leave CSK out of this because, you know, they did win a few initially and I think it was very similar strategy. I mean, management strategy to the way Mumbai is going about it now. But I want to talk about the other teams. Let's talk about two teams that haven't won. Or now, I mean, there's still three, right? Delhi still didn't win that title on Tuesday night. Delhi, Bangalore and Punjab, right? Now, I just wonder if they had a similar management really looking after their players. Because, like, can you imagine? Like, Punjab got rid of Ashwin to get someone better, right? Last season or the season before last. I highly doubt if Ravichandran Ashwin was in Mumbai Indians, if he would have been meted with the same treatment. I highly doubt if it would have happened. He'd have been, like, wrapped in cotton wool and he'd have been part of this five-time, you know, IPL titling team.
I absolutely think so too. And you're completely right. But I mean, with this Punjab team, for example, I mean, from what we saw this this season, this is a team that they can afford to do this with. They have everything they want in this team, right? They have some brilliant hitters. They have great batsmen in KL Rahul. They have somebody like Jimmy Neesham, who didn't do too well, but you know that he's capable of, you know, like winning matches all on his own. He's capable of completely ice cold performances under pressure. He's a fantastic player. Rahul, of course, we know he top scored this season, and we all know his pedigree as a batsman. And so, you know, you've got a pretty good, brilliant team in your hands, and you need to protect that team. So you're right. I mean, if Kings 11 Punjab have the confidence, they have the ability to stick to these set of players again for next season, and, you know, kind of put their confidence, put their faith in these players, I think they're going to really benefit from that.
I agree. I'm glad that you brought up these heavyweights in Kings 11 Punjab, because it makes the point that I'm trying to make with regards to Bangalore a little easier. Once the core team, just about, I think, 4 years back, Bangalore's core was Kohli, AB de Villiers, KL Rahul, Chris Gayle. Right? And right. In the bowling attack, I think UZ had already come in by that point. Right. Imagine if they were retained until this point. Don't you think they would have gotten at least one title, like broken their duck, right? Like, that's what I meant.
Well, but maybe they do have a problem with their balance, Bangalore, in terms of of just their fast bowling department. I think they don't have the bowlers that they need. They have Mohammad Siraj and Umesh Yadav, Navdeep Saini. I think they're all brilliant bowlers, but not maybe so well suited for T20. And I think they need to look at that. I also think I might be deeply unpopular with this opinion, but I also think Virat Kohli needs to go as captain.
Okay. Yeah, that is deeply unpopular. I think you should repeat it, because maybe I spoke over you at that point. But for the sake of a viewers,
I will repeat. Yes, just put me under the, you know, put me under the wheel. So I'll repeat this again. I think it's time for Virat Kohli to go as captain.
So let me back you there and tell you that it might just relieve him of, you know, the burden of managing the team, right? Like, go out there and score 1,000 runs again. Whatever he did in that season when he first took over captaincy. Man, yeah, this is a very thin and fine line to be treading when we're talking about, like, you know, people like Dhoni and Kohli and whether they should be in the team or not.
Sure. I mean, I know Kohli is a natural leader, and he's a fantastic leader. And of course, I mean, you know, he leads India in all formats, and he's brilliant at it. And there's no doubting that he should be leading India. But right, you are right. You know, sometimes you need to just let go of some responsibilities just to find other aspects of yourself. And that's what... Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Taking nothing away from Kohli as a natural leader, as a captain. I mean, of course, I mean, he's brilliant in this at this. He's fantastic for India. For RCB, for a team that's stuck in a rut for so long, being... you know, letting go of one responsibility can open up another aspect of you as a player. And that maybe is what's required for Kohli. Maybe he'll just enjoy himself more, you know, if nothing else. And that will lead to better performances. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just... but for some reason, you know, it's a big thing for people to let go of captaincy. So that's what... I think RCB need that. But you know, how about memorable moments? What stood out for you during this IPL?
Yeah, man. See, there were a bunch of great shots, great you know, balls that were bowled, great wickets, great collections. Where do we start? I think the shot that de Kock hit off Rabada yesterday in the final. Was, I think, just up there. It could well be the shot of the tournament for me. It was certainly as memorable as it gets, not just because of the stage in which it was hit, but just, you know, the grace and the elegance with which it was hit. Like, you know, this wasn't a Rabada ball that should have been put away as beautifully and delicately as it was by de Kock. That really stood out. And you know the other one, right? We've discussed this. The ball that Bumrah bowled to Dhawan in the first qualifier.
Oh, man, yeah, brilliant.
I can't get over it. Like, I really can't. Because I have not seen a better Yorker bowled in the IPL. And this is an IPL in which there were a bunch of them bowling some great Yorkers together. Right?
Yeah.
T. Natarajan, Bumrah himself, Shami at the deaths. But yeah, that one really stood out for me. What about you?
So, you know, it's nice that you brought up the Yorkers, and you know what I love about cricket. It's fast bowling. And yeah, there was some exceptional fast bowling during this IPL. Yorkers from Bumrah. Natarajan, for me, is the find of this IPL. I mean, what a beautiful, inspirational story. You know, this guy, he was bowling just... He picked up his first real cricket ball when he was 20 years old. He's never played age group cricket. That's he went straight insane. Into the Ranji team without ever playing any age group cricket. And you know, he was a tennis ball star in his locality. The kind of tennis ball star that we have all known while growing up. The guy who in your local cricket, gully cricket, you know, makes the stumps fly. But those guys never become cricketers. Professional cricketers, right? But here is one, and he was 20 years old when he first got his real cricket ball. He started at the lowest division of Tamil Nadu cricket, you know, Division 4 cricket, and then very, very rapidly rose from there. In 2 years, he was a part of every single Tamil Nadu team, the Ranji team, the List A team, T20 team. He was playing for the Tamil Nadu Premier League, then he was picked up for the IPL. Now he's flying with India to Australia. So that's just an incredible arc, an incredible journey for me. So I enjoyed watching Natarajan bowl his Yorkers. I thought Jofra Archer's opening spells or Trent Bolt's opening spells, they were ferocious, yep, nasty, wonderful to watch. You know, those rising balls from the back of length and, you know, and all that movement that they got. Unplayable first couple of overs every time Bolt or Archer bowled.
There's a common thread in all the names that you took there, not just in, you know, great fast bowlers witnessed in this IPL, but fast bowlers who certainly finished in the top 10 wickets of the season, you know, overall, including spinners, right? So Natarajan caps off the list at number 10 with 16 wickets, just below another man with a fabulous story in Varun Chakravarti at number 9. But the most insane thing about the top 8 is basically the fact that there are only two spinners there. And you know who those two spinners are, right? They're basically Yuzi Chahal and Rashid Khan. Rashid Khan, exceptional. But each player, each bowler in the top 8 of the 2020 season of the IPL finished with more than 20 wickets. I can't remember the last time this happened. I mean, Rabada, of course, has 30 right at the top. But Bumrah, 27, Bolt, 25, Nautier, 22, Chahal, 21, and Rashid, Archer, and Shami on 20 each. I mean, these pitches aren't too different from the ones that we have back home, right? Especially in the second half of the season. As you had said in one of our preview episodes back in the day, that the pitches are going to get slower and lower, and you know, it's not going to be easy to score so many runs. You would ideally expect spinners to be dominating on such pitches. But, you know, as I just mentioned, we have 7 fast bowlers in the top 10. How did this happen?
I mean, just great pitch management, I suppose. And and the fact that not too many games were played at Sharjah. I was really happy that Sharjah was, you know, didn't have that many games. Because that's just a graveyard for bowlers. I mean, I don't like... such small stadiums, easy pitches to bat on. Every score is, you know, 200 plus, and then it's being chased down. Okay, I mean, that has a certain charm, but it's too disbalanced for me. I think there was really good pitch management. Credit to the Abu Dhabi and Dubai guys for doing what they did.
Excellent. So we're going to wrap this episode up and also wrap up all our talking points on the IPL with our final thoughts on the batsmen. Because as you can notice, both Rudra and I, you know, tend to favor the bowlers. A lot of this episode has basically been about either team management or managing bowlers well. Let's give the batsmen their due as well. Who stood out for you? And yeah, was there a certain knock? Was there a certain shot? Like, what worked for you there?
I think consistency, and you know, that's what excites me, and I think, you know, based on that, Surya Kumar Yadav should just be in the Indian team right now.
Yeah,
I think he's superb. He's got all the shots. He can play classical when he wants to. He can do the ramp or the reverse sweep or whatever else he decides to play at that moment.
so confident, so calm on the pitch, doesn't care who's bowling to him. Fabulous batsman. I think he really deserves a place in the Indian squad now. And some people for the future, there's Ruturaj Gaikwad was brilliant. So, you know, I think, and Palikal. Parikal was, again, I think he's going to be an all-format star for India.
Yeah, cannot agree more on Surya Kumar. Apart from all the attributes that you just gave him there, he has a massive heart too. Yesterday, he basically sacrificed his wicket for the greater cause for his captain, for Rohit Sharma. And this is when he was basically the form man going into that match, right? Because he was clearly the best batsman around when Rohit was not playing with his hamstring injury. And it showed in just the way he started the match. Stoinis had just gotten Quinton de Kock out. It didn't matter one ounce or one iota to Surya Kumar. First ball he faced of Stoinis, he, you know, drove him for a four. And the next ball he like lapped over square leg for a six. That guy basically just walked away and stepped out of his crease and let Rohit get in there so that he could get his 50. He was just short of his 50 at that point. Yeah,
right.
You gotta love that guy. And that guy, like Ganguly said in an interview to Hindustan Times recently, that he's going to get his due very, very soon. Basically, Surya Kumar is also a fabulous segue into us just wrapping up the batting. He finishes marginally outside 500 runs, and there were six batsmen in all who crossed that mark. Rahul, of course, topped it up with 670 in just 14 games. Oh. Dhawan had 618 in 17. You know, he kind of botched it up right at the end there against Mumbai twice. And Warner, Shreyas Iyer, Ishan Kishan, and de Kock all crossed 500. And they were the players to watch in what was an extremely watchable tournament. Yeah, that's it from us, I suppose.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.